This morning, it is so good to be with you, worshiping our great God and our Savior together. And I'd encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Titus chapter 2. As Pastor Shannon mentioned earlier, we're going to be in the pastoral epistles this morning, specifically in Titus chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 5 this morning. As you turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, I wanted to give just a kind of a brief update here. You know, as Pastor Shannon mentioned earlier, I've been serving as the pastoral assistant, started last September after our family moved here last June, or moved back to Lapeer, and it has just been such a wonderful blessing to be with you all. You as a church, as individuals, have been such a blessing to our family, such an encouragement. And I want to say thank you so much. It has been fantastic. A really, really great year to be with you, both in relationships and friendships and also serving the Lord together. It's been really, really wonderful. You know, as I said, I started in September as a pastoral assistant, was able to serve in a bunch of different ways of preaching on Sundays and also leading prayer meeting for that first semester in the fall. And then more recently, I've been teaching the youth Sunday school in this past winter and into the spring. Next week is my last week teaching with them. That's been really cool to teach down in the youth room where I used to attend Sunday school as a teen. So that's been really, really fun. And I also want to thank you for praying for us. You know, we've had different prayer requests along the way in this last year, prayer that God would direct us toward a new ministry. He did that. And I'm going to be serving as the associate pastor at Alpine Baptist Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. My first Sunday is June 15th. And so also we were praying and asked you all to pray for us that we would be able to find a place to live over in that area. God answered that prayer. And this past Monday, Amy and I went and closed on a house. And we started moving in this past week. My dad and I were there this last week for 3 days, starting on some projects. You know how it goes when you own a home. They never end, and they start right off the bat. And I've been so thankful for God's provision in that way, and so thankful to you all for praying for us. And so just wanted to give you a brief update. But this morning's not about me. It's Mother's Day. So this morning is about God, who has given us our moms and our moms that he's given us and blessed us with in our lives. And so it's about you, mom. And I have kind of one main goal, or one of the goals that I have for this message, is for you moms to know this. And that is, mom, you're awesome. All right. Moms are awesome. Now, when I say, mom, you're awesome, there's a couple things that I'm emphasizing here. First of all, I'm specifically talking about my mom. My mom is awesome, okay? She's here, of course. You know, they've been members here for a long time. She's here this morning, probably sitting somewhere way in the back because my parents sit way too far back in church. But that's another issue. Despite that, my mom is still awesome. Also, I want to say this to the rest of the moms, is that, mom, you're awesome. Now, when you hear that phrase, mom, you're awesome, you may have any number of ideas in your mind about what makes a mom an awesome mom. Let me tell you just one story that shows how awesome my mom is, okay? So a few years ago, when I was a pastor in Kansas, I was scheduled to preach on Mother's Day. And as I was thinking about what I would do, I had this great idea, all right? I thought this was a great idea. No, okay, it wasn't. I thought I should just, in the service, do a Zoom call with my mom. And I could tell the people, my mom is awesome. And if you want your kids to turn out as awesome as me, you should just listen to her and do what she says. And then I could step out of this way and say, take it away, mom. And she could be on the screen and she could share her motherly wisdom with everyone. Well, about that time, before that sermon actually came about, that Sunday came about, we were having a family Zoom call with my parents and chatting with them. And after the kids had kind of lost interest and ran away and it was just me and Amy talking with my parents, I teased her that I was going to do this, that I had this idea. And my mom gave me the look. You know what I'm talking about? The mom look, right? The look that can communicate an intricate combination of I loved you, or I love you, I raised you better than that, and you better not even think about it, or you're dead meat. Yeah, that look, the mom look. Now, at this point, I haven't lived at home for over 20 years. And still, from 1,000 miles away, through a video call, my mom could give the look. Yeah, she's pretty awesome. As I thought about it, though, I realized that idea wouldn't really work, because although my mom is awesome, and I'm sure everyone would agree about that, perhaps not everyone would agree about my own estimation of how awesome I am, and more importantly, my mom's awesome because of who she is. You're not her, and she's not you. She has her own divinely bestowed gifts, characteristics, and personality. She also has her own personal struggles, sins, and failures. She has her victories, patterns of growth, and her own personal relationship with the Heavenly Father that's unique to her and what makes her awesome. And that's true for you too. There's a personal connection that you have with the one true God who has uniquely made you who you are. He's made you like no one else. And though all of us have turned away from our Creator through sin, because of the sacrifice of His Son Jesus on the cross and Jesus' resurrection from the dead, He can now call each one of us back to Himself, and He invites you into a restored relationship with Him. He as your Father and you as His child. And it's how God made you and your growth in your relationship with Him. That's what makes you an awesome mom. And as I said before, you know, we all have our own ideas of what makes someone an awesome mom. Moms. And I know it's so easy to compare yourself with others, to get discouraged that you're not the kind of mom that maybe another woman might be or you think she might be. Envy or discouragement can set in, and I want you to understand that focusing on activities you don't do or skills you don't have, that's only going to distract you. But focusing on God and His desire for you and how you would live your life, that will strengthen you and help you to grow as the awesome mom that you are and that God has designed you to be. Here in Titus chapter 2, Paul describes the parenting qualities that make an awesome mom awesome. They have nothing to do with crafts or sports or hobbies or clothes. They have everything to do with who you are in your relationship with Him. So look with me at Titus chapter 2. Again, we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. This is kind of the context here is Paul is giving a list of instructions that Titus is supposed to communicate or teach to these different groups of people. And one of those groups of people he focuses on is young women, specifically a major part or percentage of that demographic would be ladies who are moms. And notice what he says there, beginning of verse 3, he says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Here is a wonderful list of instructions for young women to understand of what makes an awesome mom. And as I said before, there are three qualities here that we're going to focus on this morning. First of all, we see this. Number one, awesome moms parent out of love for their family. Awesome moms parent out of love for their family. Paul says there that older women are to train young women to love their husbands and their children. Now, love for your family seems natural enough, especially a mother's love for her kids. But Paul says that young women need to be trained to love their husbands and their kids. Now, I don't think what he's talking about here is that they need to be trained to love their husbands and their kids, that they should do that. As I said, that's pretty natural. That just kind of comes with the territory. What he's saying is that women need to learn how to love their husbands and their kids. This is because although you naturally love your family, it's not always easy to know how best to express that love to your kids. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's easy to know what would be the loving thing to do. For example, I remember one particular evening, and I was searching for a snack. You know, it was that time of the evening where it's like, man, an evening snack would be nice right about now. And I asked Amy, I said, what do we got around here to eat? What snacks do we have around here? And she says, well, there's one piece of cake left. And I asked, there's one piece of cake? And she said, yeah, just one. That's when I knew. I need to eat this cake. As a father, it's the loving thing to do, to eat this piece of cake. You see, there was only one piece of cake. At the time, we had three children. I would hate as a father to tempt my little ones to fight over that last piece of cake. So out of love for my children, I had to do what I had to do. You know, other situations are not that simple. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says that we are to train up a child in the way that they should go. Training and discipline are key aspects of how a mother expresses true love to her kids. Yet, as one of my wife's friends said one time, sometimes you just don't know whether they need a hug or a spanking. Parenting out of love for your family means that you do what is best for them, not what will make you look good or what will keep you comfortable. Parenting out of love for your kids means that you need to learn how to love them. You can't always just go based on instinct. You have to learn and grow. And Paul says a great way to do this is to learn from older women who have already raised their children. Learning how to demonstrate love for your family is a lifelong learning process, and it's key to being an awesome mom, because awesome moms parent out of love for their family. The second parenting quality that Paul emphasizes here is this. Number two is awesome moms parent out of godly character. Awesome moms parent out of godly character. In verse 5, Paul gives a list of godly character qualities. We're just going to focus on just three of them. He mentions five things. I just want to zero in on three. And he uses these words to describe the kind of character of a truly godly woman. He says there in verse 5, he says that they are to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands. I want to zero in on the three that we're going to emphasize this morning, and that is self-control, purity, and kindness. These character qualities are more about who you are than about what you do. They will be defining characteristics, though, of what you do. Being self-controlled means that you have mastery over your own desires. You control your behavior by love and duty, rather than allowing your behavior to be controlled by how you feel at the time. This is obviously needed by mothers. Mothers show this kind of self-control in so many different ways. A mother of a newborn shows this when, though they would rather stay in bed, she gets up and cares for the baby in the middle of the night, even though she needs a nap more than anything else. But this example is obvious, and most women have this kind of self-control, but it's the ongoing and less urgent situations that a mom must learn self-control for the good of her family. Purity is the idea of faultless or unmixed. Often when we think in terms of purity, we think of sexual purity. Certainly that is appropriate in this context, as a woman should have pure love for her husband. But it also applies in her love for her children as well. Her love is to be pure love. It should not be mixed with dependence, envy, or conditions the child must meet to receive her favor or to receive her love. A mother's love should be like God's love for his children, unconditional and sacrificial, despite how the child responds to her. In this way, she'll demonstrate purity in her love for her children. And finally, Paul emphasizes kindness, that young women need to learn to be kind, especially in the area towards their families. A kind person's a good person. They treat others well. They have a pleasant nature and disposition. They're generous and patient toward others. And this is easy when life is going well. When children are sweet and behaving, when your husband comes home on time, when the appliances work, and the weather is nice. It's a lot more difficult in real life, right? Now, I refer to these as godly character because this is exactly how God treats us. He is self-controlled. He puts our needs above his own, despite how we may feel. He is pure. His love towards us is pure and unconditional and unmixed by any desires of his own, only a desire for his people. And he's kind. He is so kind to us and does so many things for our good. And we should all seek to mimic God in how we treat our families, especially how we treat our families at home. Now, notice that when Paul is talking about what a woman should be as a mother, he doesn't focus at all on what she should do. There's no parenting tips, no activity schedules, no dietary standards. This is because godly parenting is so much more about who you are than about what you do. We tend to focus on the trappings of motherhood while God emphasizes character. As it's written in the Old Testament, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Finally, the third parenting quality of an awesome mom is this. Number three, awesome moms parent out of concern for God's glory. You know, the last phrase there in verse 5 shows the motivation behind all that we should do. He says all of these things that the word of God may not be blasphemed. We need to learn to love our children and parent out of love for our families. We need to learn and grow in godly character and parent out of godly character. Why? So that the word of God may not be blasphemed or reviled. In every area of our lives, we should be concerned first and foremost with God's honor and God's glory. We should have in our hearts the desire, the focus. I do not want to do anything that would disgrace the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to do everything to show how much I love him and to show how amazing he is so that others can know the truth about him as well. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that includes parenting. Your goal for your children should be, I want God to be glorified in how I raise my kids. This should be the ultimate goal. Any other motivation, no matter how good, will have pitfalls that will derail the direction of your parenting. You may want more than anything for your kids to be happy. You may live to see your kids become successful in this life. Perhaps your ultimate goal is for your family to remain close and to remain together. These are all great things. I hope all of them will be true of my family. But there are maybe any number of ways that you could be tempted to compromise God's word and God's will to achieve those, if those are your goal. Parenting, though, with the glory of God as your focus and your goal, that is the ultimate for each one of our lives. If this is true about you, then you're going to remain faithful to his word and will always strive to accomplish his will. Again, no matter how you feel or what desire you might have. So as we think about these things, these three parenting qualities, these are what truly matter the most. Parenting out of love for your family, parenting out of godly character, and parenting for concern for the glory of God. As Paul says in Titus 2, young women, I want you to understand, these are best learned from women who have already walked the path of motherhood. I want to encourage young moms especially to spend less time searching YouTube and more time with your grandma or another godly woman. No, there's nothing necessarily wrong with mom blogs. I even highlight a podcast in the recommended resources, but nothing can replace the value of a real life example from a godly lady who can show you how to live out God's character in your life. We need those kind of relationships in our lives, not only young women, but all of us in some extent. But not only that, not only is that just a better way to learn, but I guarantee you, Rachel Hollis is not going to come to your house to help you fold laundry, okay? But Cindy Wuerl will. I didn't even ask her if I could say that. Maybe she won't. Maybe Mrs. Wuerl hates laundry. I don't know. But I bet she would. More importantly, she'll pray for you. And she'll encourage you. And I can think of several other women in this church who would do the same. If you don't know who to ask, man, talk to Ross or talk to Kevin. They'd be happy to connect you with a lady who will help you grow in these ways. And as we close, I want to encourage you in how God made you as an awesome mom. Keep growing in these parenting qualities, parenting out of love for your family, godly character, and concern for God's glory. Please realize that none of these things have anything to do with the ways that we so often are tempted to compare ourselves with others. They don't have anything to do with your abilities, your looks, your hobbies. These have nothing to do with the kinds of activities that you enjoy with your kids. They have nothing to do with the meals that you prepare, how much gluten or food dye they consume, how much TV they watch, or how up to date their scrapbook is. What Paul lists is what truly matters. But these other things so easily divert our attention. It's so easy to compare and to get discouraged, to look at someone else and say, man, she's such an awesome mom because she bakes with her kids. Or she's such an awesome mom because her kids' clothes are always so cute. Or she's such an awesome mom because she's so fit and active with her kids. Please, don't compare. Don't worry about what other people think. The only opinion that really matters is, first of all, what God thinks, and second, what your family thinks. And I want you to take it from someone who is a husband to a mom and the son of both the best mom and mother-in-law a guy could ever ask for. And that is, every little boy thinks their mother is beautiful. And every little boy thinks their mother is awesome. What really matters most is your love for your family, your godly character, and your concern for God's glory. And as you grow in these ways, you will continue to be the most awesome mom for your family and for God's glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time you've given to us to look into your word. Thank you for this instruction. For young moms, for young ladies, and thank you especially for the women that you've brought into our lives that fulfill these roles for each one of us. God, I thank you for my mom. I thank you for my mother-in-law, for my wife, and for so many other ladies that have been such an influence in my life and so many others that have taught us the Word of God, that have directed us to our attention towards you so that we might glorify you as they have as well. And I pray for each of the ladies here this morning that they would know what truly matters in this life, that they would focus on the things that you say are important and would not be distracted by the things of this world, so that, God, you would be glorified in each one of our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.